Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you. Without you, it's impossible. So thank you for your awesome grace towards us, Lord. Thank you for pouring out your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to study Jesus is for us and in us. Amen. And first revelation is Emmanuel, God with us. This was given to Winnie Asagata, 5/28/23. I dreamed that I and a few others were on a train above ground going to the right. And it was a bright sunny day out. We were sitting at a rectangular table with white linen cloth on it. And of course, to the right is the right direction to go for the sheep, right? I heard Debbie Finsky, she said, receive a word from the Lord, as she does sometimes. And she said, Jesus is with us. He is with us. Well, in the light is with the presence of our King, right? And Matthew 28:20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And also Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord, he it is that doeth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. I suddenly had a revelation that Jesus was truly here with us. My heart was so full and enlarged, and I could feel the presence of the Lord there very strongly. Matthew 18:20 says, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And John 1:14 says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father. Full of grace and truth. Amen. I could also feel that he, that is the Word, was in me and in us and was very big, even bigger than me. Yes, we know. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, my little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to remember that. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? And she said, thank you, Lord, for this reminder that you are in us and are greater than he that is in the world, and that he can overcome the world through us. Amen. And a verse that I received by faith at random was John 5:35-36. He was the lamp that burneth and shineth, and you were willing to rejoice for a season in his light. But the witness which I have is greater than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to accomplish, the very works that I do bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. Amen. How come they didn't figure that out? Or they were awed and thought he was a prophet for sure, but they didn't figure out that it was God inside. And this next one was given to Tiana Fire for 2023. We called it Christ Inspects the Bride. I was at a street view in a major city where I saw a giant lion. about the size of a one-story building walking around. Well, the lion is Jesus. He's the Lion of Judah. I was on a corner of three connected streets. The three connected streets, I believe, represent a person's mind, will, and emotions, and represent the psuche or soul. Also, Jesus is the cornerstone, and that's where it was, at the corner. He isn't in the center, right? Ephesians 2:19-22 says, "So then, you're no more strangers and sojourners, but you're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building, fitly framed together, groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit." And, of course, we know there are people that try to keep the church from coming together. That's what faction means, right? "The lion came down the street to my right," meaning, of course, righteousness, "and he saw me and stared at me. I knew it was looking directly at me, but I had no fear or any negative feelings." Well, Christ in you is not fearful of anything, and he has already conquered every evil. 1 John 4:17 says, "Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, even so are we in this world." Oh, how awesome. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath punishment. And he that feareth is not made perfect in love." And also 1 Corinthians 13:12, "For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know fully, even as also I was fully known." So that is our goal right there, and it's already been accomplished by Christ at the cross. We reckon ourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Amen. So the lion stared at me for a long period, probably an inspection. And then he continued walking where he was going. Well, Jesus is the just and righteous judge of the Father's will. Revelation 5:5, "And one of the elders said to me, Weep not, for lo, the lion, he of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath overcome to open the booklet and the seven seals thereof." Those are the seven judgments, right? When asking the Lord if the lion is Jesus or the enemy, I received Daniel 7:14. Well, notice the 777, 7 and 14, two sevens. "And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." And then we received this from Claire Pinar, 5:16-23. "Our lives should be an offering." Amen. "I dreamed that I was on the Zoom outreach, and it was Christmas time." Well, this is for the world church, as we all await the coming of the man-child. It's at the end of the calendar year with much worldly festivities and distractions. She went on to say, "A man was in the meeting, and he was so quiet, and he was sitting in front of the same big bay window that I have seen in my dreams before." Could be a window of insight, okay? It's a window of a hotel resort. In other words, for a temporary stay, right? He was utterly miserable. He was away with extended family at a resort, and these folks did not understand why all the Christmas festivities are wrong. And it upset the man. Julie sent a text to us to pray for him, and we did. Julie means child of God. So the flesh is miserable because he knows he has to die to self and be weak to the weak. But the little bit of legalism is involved here, right? And as we live in the light of the Word, we realize that all those worldly idolatries, supposedly in the name of the Lord, are wrong. And the old man is offended, but the world doesn't know better. And we're not to judge those who are without, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, right? So let them grow and pray for them. Then I was walking with my children through a mall or shop boulevard, but it was undercover and it was cold and wintry. I was wearing a black school blazer with black pants and a black long-sleeved t-shirt. I asked the Lord why I dressed in black, and I received this word by faith at random, Ezekiel 40 and 39. And in the porch of the gate were two tables on this side and two tables on that side, to slay thereon the burnt offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. According to the word received for this dream, I thought the black top is burnt offering, the black pants is the sin offering, and the black jacket is the trespass offering. So this is in line with Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's three more. I wanted to show my children the pictures of their baby scans when they were in the womb. And I placed the photo on my lap and wanted to take a picture with my phone. My phone screen was black, and the baby scan picture blended so much with my black pants that my phone couldn't recognize the photo and could not focus in on it. Well, my thought is, it's not the old man that we want to remember by photos. He is black, and he is at enmity with God, the Bible says. And we are hidden in Christ, as the photo. And God saw and formed us and sees us in the new life, not in the old life. And that's where we see ourselves. We behold Jesus in the mirror, right? So, but in the dream I was telling my children that God created them and that they are precious, and look how small we all start out. Yep. It was a precious moment for my children in the dream. Well, Psalm 139, 13 through 17 says this, "For thou didst form my inward parts. Thou didst cover me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks unto thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see mine unformed substance, and in thy book they were all written, even the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Amen. I asked the Lord about my children and what they represent, and I received by faith at random, John 21 and 4. In context, 4 to 5. But when day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said unto them, Children, so they're children of Jesus, right? Have you aught to eat? And they answered him, No. So they represent the children of Jesus, right? He is our spiritual father, not our heavenly father, but he is our spiritual father because he sowed the seed in our heart that brought forth Christ, right? Then we walked around the boulevard again and came back to a restaurant, and there were two red-haired teenage or young adult men behind me trying to pickpocket me. Well, that's the seed of Esau, who had red hair. They continue to try to steal what has been given to those who live the crucified life. Those people give. These people steal. That's what they do. I noticed then that I had so much money flowing out of my pockets. Well, she puts the NENT here. John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not but to steal and kill and destroy. But I came that they might have life and may have it in abundance. So the Edomites are compulsive thieves in our day. And are trying now to steal from us. Okay. But God won't let them. There was so much money, and it was all different colors, just like the South African and Australian banknotes. I thought, I better go count the money to see if anything's stolen. But in the dream, I didn't know how much I had in the first place, because it was a great deal of money that had suddenly appeared. Well, the same God that can put it in your pocket can keep it there, or bring it right back when somebody steals it, multiplied, actually. And the FCR will bring this money, okay? I asked the Lord for a word concerning the money, and receive this by faith at random, Luke 1, 54 through 55. He hath given help to Israel his servant, that he might remember mercy, as he spake unto our fathers towards Abraham and his seed forever. Amen. Well, the multicolored money represents the promises of God in his word, through Jesus, who gives us whatsoever we ask for. You know, the rainbow was a promise, and the rainbow-colored money is a promise, and it also probably represents the different people of the world, the different races and the different colors of people in the world, because it is worldwide. 1 John 5:14-15, and this is the boldness which we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions which we have asked of him. So the colored notes could also represent the rainbow, which is a promise of protection in future days of judgment. Genesis 9:13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. Also, all races and colors will partake of the GCR, right? Amen. So, we went to a family steakhouse restaurant called Spur, and tried to find adequate seating. It was busy, and there were many Africans there who were very interested in our money. Well, the steakhouse represents killing the flesh in the fiery trial, right? And the Africans could spiritually represent those who walk in darkness, who are only interested in the promises and not in sacrificing the self life. I mean, the flesh on the altar, right? And they are spiritually undiscerning and still have a love for the world and worldly things. Then we saw the same man from the Zoom outreach who was unhappy about his apostate family. We went to him and prayed for him. We all held hands and prayed in the middle of the restaurant for the oppression to leave. It was short, and he was grateful. He said, "Even though I am on holiday with family, I am still so alone." So we prayed again and offered him to come and sit with us, and he did not. We found a little wooden pew, very small and narrow, at the back of this steakhouse and sat there. Well, pews are generally very uncomfortable, but it provides rest. That's the important thing. And when we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, it's very uncomfortable, but we can rest and the promises applicable to us are then multiplied. So, the promises from the wooden cross is what we rest on, right? There were a few Asians and Africans who were sitting in similar pews waiting for their food. As I sat down, I realized that the money must have multiplied now as it was weighing the right side down and it was poking a hole through the inside lining of my jacket. I did not know my paper money could make holes in clothing, which tells you how much there was in my blazer pocket. Then I asked the Lord, who I represent here, or is this dream only for me? And I received John 4:21 with my finger on woman. Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father." So maybe the woman, she's representing the woman, and maybe of Revelation 12. So now we go to Daniel Pienaar, the son, 5:17-23. We called it "Run and Endure the Race." I dreamed I was running on an athletic track, and then it became a cross-country race. It was so challenging. Daniel means God is my judge. Every stride I took was such a strain. It was a windy track. I didn't seem to be going fast. Well, uneven, rugged terrain of cross country is with hills and valleys and represents the trials and tribulations that we have in this world, I believe. And John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Consider it done, he's saying. Then I was back on the athletic track, and I was so fast, I even beat Uncle Edwin. Claire's note here is Edwin means wealthy friend, and he likely represents the world. He is super fast and fit in the natural. So when we go into the wilderness, we are in a position of weakness, and we go through many trials and tribulations there, and it makes our inner man strong. It all works together for our good so that we can finish the race strong. And getting back on the track represents that the faith of rest empowered Daniel. Maybe it also represents the outpouring of the latter rain, and many signs and wonders follow with quick and immediate manifestations. Joel 2:21-23 says, "Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he giveth you the former rain in just measure, and he causeth to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month." And Isaiah 40:31 says, "But they that wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." Good promises, Lord. Thank you so much. And this is Claire, again, Claire Pinar, 5:22-23, and we called it Bride Intercedes, Man-Child Wins. Amen. I dreamed Daniel and I were on a rugby field. This is a super high contact, aggressive game. Well, it could represent our fight against the other side, the powers and the principalities, right? Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our wrestling is not against flesh and blood." If you're wrestling with flesh, by the way, that's kind of witchcraft, you know. And if you do witchcraft, you become a witch. See, this is not our calling. We wrestle with the principalities and powers, and against the world rulers of this darkness, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's our battle. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but mighty before God unto casting down of strongholds." Yes, if we use our sword of the Spirit on these spirits, on these demons, we'll do much more good than trying it on humans, right? "I was cheering him on and on the field with him as we were simply hanging out. And then a whistle or a siren blew, and all of our family and many, many others came running across the rugby field to fill the stadium." Ooh. The real game was about to begin. The first trump signals the start of the tribulation. Right? "I never saw the opposition, but Daniel was the only one on his team." Well, our opposition is spiritual, never physical. Daniel represents that there is only one victor, right? Galatians 2:20-21 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. I do not make void the grace of God, for if righteousness is through the law, then Christ died for naught." And 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Know ye not that they that run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? Even so run that you may attain." Well, we know that that one is Christ, right? And that the promise was given to one, which Galatians tells us very plainly, and that one is Christ. And therefore, we have to abide in him to be one in him. Again, there are those who fight against unity of the body of Christ in him. And that's what faction means. So, stay far away from that, because you will never be one with that spirit in you. So, Daniel means God is my judge. she says, and the start of the tribulation is the start of the fulfillment of the rest of the prophecy of Isaiah 61 that Jesus stopped halfway through. Yes, he did. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives." Oh, what a wondrous time this will be, right? "And the opening of the prison to them that are bound." Yes, many people in bondage to demons and religious spirits and so on and so forth. "To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God." There's that second part. Yes, God is coming with vengeance against the enemies of his people. He's going to preserve his people by judging their enemies. "And to comfort all that mourn, and to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them a garland for ashes." Yes, they've just gone through the burning up of the flesh, and now they get the garland. "And the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Daniel was wearing all white, and his blonde hair was shining in the sun, S-U-N/S-O-N, right? His clothing represents being submitted to Jesus, justified by faith, washed in the blood, cleansed in the blood. Amen. Revelation 3 and 5, "He that overcometh shall thus be arrayed in white garments, and I will in no wise blot his name out of the book of life. I will confess his name before my Father and before the holy angels." And it was given unto her that she should array herself in fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19 and 8. Also, I will add 1 John 1, 6 through 10. "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin." That's those that have fellowship. They've become one. Fellowship, of course, is a communion of people together, right? "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For this reason, people who are demon-possessed have trouble confessing their sins." Yes, they can't do it because the devil knows he's losing his house if they confess their sins. Okay, so the NENT here, John 8 and 12. "Again, therefore, Jesus spake unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Who followeth me shall in no wise walk in the darkness, but shall have the light of life." Daniel intercepted the ball immediately and started running. One of the invisible opposition knocked the ball out of his hand, and it was knocked out of the field. Well, that's probably representing the trials and the tribulations and the enemy trying to steal our kingdom benefits and heavenly position in Christ, no doubt. "I was standing on the line, and I was screaming for all it was worth, cheering him on." And she puts, "The bride intercedes for the man-child. I then got onto the field once I caught the ball and sent Daniel a side pass." The bride also participates with the man-child in the work. "I knew I couldn't get ahead of him, as forward passes are not allowed." Well, she's not a Jezebel, but walks beside him, right? Okay. John 3 and 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Amen. I ran with him a short time, encouraging him as he caught the ball. Daniel was now far in front of the opponents, and he could confidently kick the ball through the poles for a goal. It was fantastic. Everyone cheered, and he was happy, but not boastful. Of course, that's because the victory belongs to Jesus in us. He's already won it. He said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." Amen. I received Ezekiel 18 and 10 by faith at random in context, 18, 10 through 18. If he beget a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even hath eaten upon the mountains and defiled his neighbor's wife, hath wronged the poor and needy, hath taken by robbery, hath not restored the pledge, hath lifted up his eyes to the idols, hath committed abomination, hath given forth upon interest, and hath taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He hath done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon him. So what we see here is a wicked son cannot win the contest. He is losing the game against his flesh. Amen? But then, verse 14. Now lo, if he beget a son that seeth all his father's sins, which he hath done, and feareth and doeth not such like, that hath not eaten upon the mountains, neither hath lifted up his eyes to idols of the house of Israel, hath not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither hath wronged any, hath not taken aught to pledge, neither hath taken by robbery, but hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, that hath withdrawn his hand from the poor, and that hath not received interest nor increase, hath executed mine ordinances, hath walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. And as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother, and did that which was not good among his people, behold, he shall die in his iniquity. So, the righteous score all the points in this game, which is for eternal life. And some people ignore all these things because of lust of the flesh, ego, whatever. This one is Samuel Fires 3:24-23. Love of saints brings deliverance. I saw myself in the center of a room. Then all the women in the UBM outreach and local brethren all linked hands and surrounded me and closed in until all were sitting together with no gaps. Then all the men did the same in an outer circle. I felt them all praying in tongues and English with God's love and grace. I felt this holy love pressing and squeezing with an intense, comfortable heat. I then felt something start to bubble up, wriggling inside, up from deep within me. This was something dark, and then it escaped out of my mouth upward like a volcano eruption. I then felt so much better. Praise the Lord. I felt this meant that the surrounding of the saints in layers of love allowed deliverance. The fellowship and desire of the Lord will allow us to be completely free in Jesus. Well, amen. Well, when the saints come together, one will chase 1,000, two will chase 10,000. If any two of you agree as touching anything, it shall be done by our Father. When they come together and pray in unity, there is power. We should do it more often. Okay, this next one is we called intercession. It's Tiana Fire 3:18-23. I saw myself holding a long string over the back of my shoulder, and I saw the string leading into a big, giant, black abyss. The string went down into the abyss, and I saw the string wrapped around all the people that I have ever prayed for, including random people I don't know, all people that are not yet following Jesus. The string had no weight and was light and easy to hold, and it didn't cut my skin. The string represents our prayers of intercession, connecting people we pray for to the throne of grace and the Lord Jesus, our great high priest, who is also always making intercession for us. James 5:16 says, "Confess therefore your sins one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." 1 Timothy 2:1-6 says, "I exhort therefore, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings and all that are in the high place, that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity." So, prayers for all men. Do we take time to do that? The Bible says pray without ceasing, obviously. And we see people in need all day long. We see people in need, and we can pray. Put that string on them, right? "This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator also between God and men, himself man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, the testimony to be born in its own times." Yes. "I felt that they are held there by Jesus' faith and prayers through me. And by God's grace and intercession, they won't fall into the abyss. They are dangling there because they haven't yet come to Jesus. But in God's perfect time, by His grace, they will either be pulled out or they will climb up and using the string." Well, Jesus interceding through us is more powerful and effective than we know. Jesus' faith through us is keeping many souls back from the pit, even if they repent at the last moment, like the thief on the cross. They will come into the kingdom of God. And if we don't allow, she said, Jesus to intercede through us and believe for others, they may fall into the pit. "I felt that Jesus' faith and prayers through me was the only thing keeping them from falling." Well, this is true. We should remember this. God hears our prayers for our lost loved ones, for people around us that we see in need, people we want to help, you know. "I felt this vision is to encourage us all to allow Jesus to intercede through us all the time and not give in to the flesh that is constantly trying to stop us from communing with our Heavenly Father and seeking and being about His will and His business, not getting all distracted with the world, right? And given here is NENT, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and supplication, praying at all seasons in the Spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So pray for them. Don't be judging them, being critical of them, and all these things. If you're praying and believing for them, you don't have to do that, right? This is what God wants us to do. pray and believe, not criticize a lie or slander, like some people we know. I felt this vision is to encourage us all to allow Jesus to intercede through us all the time and not give in to the flesh that is constantly trying to stop us from bringing souls into the kingdom. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. And I'll put another note here that you can go to and look, read some on. Anyway, this is Samuel Fires, 12:16-22, prayers of warfare. I had a vision of the enemy, the kingdom of darkness, its principalities and powers, up above the earth in the air, formulating and sending attacks down on the people. Okay, principalities and powers, judging, acting against our well-being. NENT, Ephesians 6 and 12, for our wrestling is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against the authorities and against the world rulers of this darkness and against the spirituals of the wickedness in heavenlies. In Psalm 91, 5 and 6, thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. I then saw the prayers of the saints going up from the earth. Because they prayed in the spirit, the demons were unable to grasp or stop the prayers. All right, Mark 16 and 17 says, and these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. Yes. Praying in the Spirit is speaking with new tongues. Acts 2 and 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Holy Spirit prays through us according to the will of God, the Scripture says. And He prays in tongues. There's a reason for tongues, because if we know what we're saying, sometimes we would interfere with it because of doctrines or feelings or whatever. But when you don't know what you're saying, it's a pure language of the Holy Spirit to the Father. And you're not interfering. So, because you don't know what you're saying. Acts 19 and 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Spirit came, they spake with tongues. 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. And to another working of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another divers kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. And also 1 Corinthians 14 and 18, which says, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul said he thanked God because we build ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. I could see the prayers were separate, protected, and encoded. So praying in the Spirit is not with our understanding. It is in tongues. 1 Corinthians 14 and 15 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with my understanding also. So praying with the Spirit is praying in tongues. It's not using our understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will sing with the understanding also. I love to do this. I enjoy it. God can make tongues understood or not understood by men or demons. God can do that. The prayers were piercing through the darkness straight past the enemy and not hindered the slightest. The enemy could not block or stop them. There was no way that the enemy had the ability to know or decode the prayers. So, let me say, even when they do know, They cannot do anything about it, for God is sovereign over all vessels of honor and dishonor. Read the book of Job. They had to have permission. They know what their permission is. It's when we step over the line and out from under the blood. They have permission. And even then we rescue people, right? So the NEND for Revelation 8, 4 and 5 says, "And the smoke of the incense for the prayers of the saints went up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it from the fire off the altar and cast it into the earth. And the thunders came and the voices and lightnings and an earthquake." Could be the coming of the Lord there. "I then saw our Lord interceding and answering the prayers." It was like each prayer received was launch codes that were enabling a full armament to be unleashed. "He then sent forth fire and judgment, raining down onto the enemy's kingdom." Now, we can't call fire down out of heaven. Jesus rebuked for that. His disciples wanted to try it. He said, "You don't know what spirit you're of," right? No, but fire down on the enemy's camp, the enemy's kingdom, the demons. We war with these demons. And we have authority over them and to judge them. So each time the saints prayed in the spirit, there was more fire brought upon the enemy. Yeah. Romans 8, 33 and 34 says, "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth?" I'll tell you, it's the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren. And he's got a lot of helpers. "It is Christ Jesus that died, yea, rather was raised from the dead, who is at the right, at God's right, who also intercedeth for us." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hebrews 7 and 25. "Whence also he is able to save to the uttermost them that approach God through him. He ever liveth to make intercession for them." Psalm 11 and 6. "Upon the wicked he will rain snares, fire and brimstone, and burning wind shall be the portion of their cup." So notice, it's God doing this. It's not men. Notice, God is doing this, and we are forbidden by Jesus to call down fire on our physical enemies, right? So we don't wrestle with them. They're just dupes, right? And we deal with the entities that are oppressing them, possessing them, whatever. We deal with them, right? Psalm 18, 13 and 14 says, "Lord also thundereth in the heavens, and the Most High uttereth his voice, hailstones and coals of fire, and he sent out his arrows and scattered them, yea, lightnings manifold and discomfited them." I felt that we have to keep feeding the flames of our Lord in prayer, in spirit, to keep giving a reason for our Lord to send the attack back on the enemy. Ephesians 6 and 18. "With all prayer and supplication, praying at every season in the spirit, and watching thereunto in all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Yes, you need to pray for others. Others get under attack from the wicked, and you need to jump in there and help, right? Psalm 50 and 3 says, "Our God cometh and doth not keep silence. A fire devoureth before him, and it is very tempestuous round about him. His recompense is before him, and his reward is with him," the Bible says in Isaiah. "I then felt that the darkest hour of warfare is when few people are alert or awake. We all need to consciously pray in the spirit and keep the pressure and attack on the enemy." Yes, amen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 4 through 8 says, But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light, sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as do the rest, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us, since we are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So it's okay to wake up in the night and start praying. God does that. He wakes us up. We pray. It's good. It's quiet, you know, no distractions. Very good. So this one we call Before the Throne, Tiana Fire 2:9-23. There is something in the spiritual realm that the Lord has allowed me to see at times, especially when a UBM sister has prayed, and I feel now the Lord wants me to write it down. It's difficult for me to put spiritual things into physical words. Many times when our sister has prayed, I am taken to a place and I've seen her or the Holy Spirit or Jesus in her in a room which seems to me to be like a courtroom. I have seen her speaking in front of the Father who was up high, and what felt was in a position like a judge, and all other spirits around were watching but waiting for the Father or the judge. The Father was completely focused and watching her, seeing and hearing every word she speaks, and him answering the prayer at the very moment the words come from her mouth. I had a supernatural knowing that he is answering the prayer right at that moment, whether it completely manifests in the physical immediately or not, but that it is all answered in the spirit. He heard as soon as it was spoken, or even beforehand, and he moves the moment it has been spoken. I have a feeling that he is pleased and it is his will. There were also other spirits present all around, like a 360 angle all around her and the Father, but in a lower position to the Father or judge. These spirits remind me of everyone else in a courtroom that isn't the judge or the lawyer or representative. They are like an audience or security, workers, etc., in a courtroom. But instead of being in one spot, they are spread out all around. I believe these spirits are angels or maybe also brethren that are already in heaven. When I'm seeing this, it is all I see and feel, and it's as if I am nowhere else but in this place. And this is the most important thing that I can even think of anywhere or anything else. After being in this place, I feel much more spiritually clean. The feeling is like having a lovely shower and feeling fresh and clean. I sought the Lord as I was wondering how this sister's prayers go straight before the Father so often, and how is it that he answers them as soon as she prays, and how is it that she is able to get to that place. I have only experienced this myself a few times, but have been there many times when our sister is praying. One thing is praying in faith. You have to pray in knowledge, of course. You want to pray according to the will of God, but praying in faith, the prayer of faith, is powerful. And we learn how to do that because Jesus taught us, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe you received them, and you shall have them. I felt the Lord say that because she is aligning herself with the Holy Spirit or Jesus, she is allowing the Holy Spirit or Jesus to speak and intercede through her. And because it's the Holy Spirit, it is completely aligned with the Father, and his will and word, and is therefore heard and answered when immediately spoken. This is one of the reasons we read the scriptures, to get in alignment with God in our beliefs, so that we pray those things that are good and right and necessary, right? For me, this has increased my faith and given me a desire to learn to always allow the Holy Spirit to pray through me, rather than me praying what I think God wants, or from myself, or praying scripture from my own memory or religiously. Many times my prayers aren't answered, and I feel now a lot of time it's because I am praying for what I think God wants or my needs, rather than just allowing the Holy Spirit to pray through me. Yes, you know, when you pray in the Spirit, you're praying according to the will of God. Therefore, everything you ask, you get. It's very important to pray in the Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do this. And she says, all glory to Father God. Amen. I agree. And also, the more we come into agreement with the Word, let me say, the more our prayers are answered. John 15 and 7. If you abide in me, and of course there's no sin in him, we're walking righteously. Yes, failure is covered by the blood. Ignorance is covered by the blood. Willful disobedience is just stubborn rebellion, and it's not covered by the blood, according to Hebrews 10:26. So John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, it shall be done unto you. In other words, the person who abides in Christ, walking in him, walking as a disciple, who is full of the Word, their prayers are going to be heard. They're going to be heard, which is awesome. Father, we thank you so much for this, and we ask, Lord, that we have a love for your word, we stay in your word, and we stay in prayer. You said pray without ceasing. We could be praying everywhere for everybody that we see all around us, and especially for those that we love and that we see in need in the church. So thank you, Father, for that. Please work that in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. In Jesus' name. Amen.